Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite us to turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, page 1069 in the red pewback Bibles, page 1069. Mark chapter 5. Just to set the context for this a little bit, this ruler of the synagogue named Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, my daughter's dying. Please come and heal her that she would live. And so Jesus agrees. And as they're on the way to this home of Jairus, they encounter this woman. This woman comes up and she thinks, she has this flow of blood for 12 years. She thinks, if I can just touch the fringe of his garment, I'll be healed. So in the midst of all that that's going on, all these crowd gathering around Jesus, this woman perseveres, makes her way up, and touches the very fringe of his garment. And so we pick it up in Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Actually, the paragraph there will say, a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So all these people are gathered around. You've been in that kind of a crowd. Just imagine so many people around you just brushing up against you. Verse 25, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. This is the word of the Lord. Wow, what a great story. What a great story. This poor woman, in the midst of all this throng, everybody's gathered around, brushing around. They heard Jairus come and say, my daughter's dying, come and heal her. And so they got this great expectation because they'd heard these reports about Jesus and all the great stuff he's doing. Can imagine being part of that crowd. It's like, okay, we're going to see another miracle here. Can't wait. So we're all in the throng going along. And all of a sudden, in the midst of it, Jesus turns around and says, whoa. Something happened. I just felt power go out from me. Who touched me? And the disciples are like, Jesus, you got people crowding all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. He says, no. Power has gone out from me. Somebody touched my garment. And he's looking around to find out who it was. This poor woman, 12 years in torment, suffering, not just physically, but also emotionally and socially. Anyone who had a flow of blood was unclean. Not only that, but anyone she touched was unclean. And here she's talking about going up to touch Jesus and all these other people. The crowd would have been horrified at her. Like, how can you come in here touching all of us when you are unclean and making us unclean as well? But Jesus loved her. He was not offended by it. He knew power. Isn't that amazing? He sensed that power had gone out. that healing power. He knew something had happened. And so he searches for her to find out, who is it that touched me? And she comes trembling in fear, it says, because she knows what she did by the law was totally uncalled for. You didn't touch anyone if you were unclean because you made them unclean. And yet Jesus is gracious to her and says, daughter, isn't that great? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. We could just stop right there and say, oh, what a great story that was. Jesus, wonderful healer, compassionate, kind, sensitive. But there's so much more to the story once we start to understand the background of it. Once we start to look, what was this woman doing? What was she really thinking? This encounter with Jesus was not just wishful thinking. If I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. This was based on biblical prophecy and biblical truth, biblical teaching. This woman knew her Bible. She knew the prophecy of Micah chapter 4, verse 2, concerning the coming of Messiah. Micah 4, 2, for you who fear my name, says the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Some translations say healing in his wings. They make it personal. Some translations say shall rise with healing wings. The Hebrew, in fact, is somewhat ambiguous. In fact, the word son, S-U-N, has several different meanings. They're related, but it could mean rays of light. So it really could be the light of righteousness shall rise. Now this would be consistent with Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, which says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory, the light of God has risen upon you. This is also applied to the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, Zechariah is giving this prophecy about John the Baptist. And in the midst of that prophecy, he has this verse, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Isn't that strange? How many times we read over that? The sunrise shall visit us from on high. Talking about Messiah here. Talking about the light of the world. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Now, if we needed any other valuable, authoritative source, we have nowhere else to turn but our Christmas carols. Some of our Christmas carols have the greatest theology. Hark, the herald angels sing. Who would have thought? Risen with healing in his wings, light and life to all he brings. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Do you ever realize this is where that comes from? Risen with healing in his wings, life and light to all he brings, hail the Son, S-U-N, in the hymn, it says S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. That's where this comes from. As I said, our hymns have some great theology. Well, the other thing that's ambiguous about this is the Hebrew word for wings can also be translated in different ways. It could mean edge, as in the edge of a garment. In the Greek, it would be fringe, as in the fringe of a garment. Healing in the fringe, which is the tzitzit, the fringe of the garment, the tassels, the fringe, of Messiah's prayer shawl, talit, the prayer shawl they would have made as a prayer shawl, is not a far-fetched idea. In both Matthew and Luke's account of the woman's healing, this story, this account of this woman is included in both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew and Mark, it tells us that the woman touched, quote, the fringe of his garment. Not just his garment, but the fringe of the garment. More specific. Unless we again think this is maybe a stretch in terms of interpretation, again, amazing thing, I didn't realize until I'm reading the commentaries about this, But in Matthew chapter 14 and in Mark chapter 6, tells us that the sick people, quote, implored him, Jesus, that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. So this was a prevailing belief around that whole time. This woman wasn't crazy or off or, again, looking at some kind of magic. This was based on scriptural prophecy, scriptural interpretations of the promises of God in his prophets. Healing in the winds, the fringe, the wings, the winds, the fringe, the edge of his garment. This was messianic prophecy. It was fulfilled by Jesus. And the woman knew it. She knew, if only I touch the fringe of his garment, I will be healed. Well, I just so happen to have here a tallit, a prayer shawl. Again, the more I learn about this, the more fascinating it is to me to think of this as a prayer shawl, by the way. What they would do is when they're praying, they put it over their heads. And I read a commentary this week that said, you know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness before the temple was built, God's presence, Yahweh, was in the tent of meeting. They had a tent that they would carry around. Well, everybody couldn't fit in the tent. And evidently the base word for tallit is tent or covering. So in a sense, people create their own tent in order to pray and to meet God. And I'm like, wow, wow. And again, what a foreshadowing that is of us, who in a sense become the tent, the tabernacle of God. As Paul tells us, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you see how that was foreshadowed in the tallit, the tent, the prayer shawl? So this would have been very common in the days of Jesus. The rabbis would have this, and they would have the fringes. In fact, Jesus criticized the Sadducees and Pharisees once. They said, oh, they make the fringes really long to be shown by people, instead of understanding what they really are meaning. There is meaning in this. In fact, the whole idea of the fringes goes back to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37. Let me read this to you. The Lord God said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel. Tell them to make tassels, fringes, on the corners of their garments, on the corner, the edge, throughout their generations, and put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. Blue is the color God specified. Doesn't say why, but I guess blue is God's favorite color. I don't know. Maybe that was it for the day. Do we know what blue is? Something. Let me continue. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So the purpose of these tassels, these fringes, was to remind people of the commandments of God, the ways of God. That whenever they would see these, they would remember, oh, we follow the ways of God. Now, I'm not sure how many, and it's not true always, but, you know, priests, we wear this thing called a stole. It's not how we got it, it's what it's called. And you can see almost all stoles I know have fringes on it. I didn't know that that's what this meant. I should have been told in seminary, by the way, when you're, you know, ordained, you're going to wear a stole and it's going to have fringes on it, and that's to remind you of the commandments of God, that you are a servant of the Lord and you dedicate yourself, you commit yourself to following God's ways. That's what these mean. And there's healing in following the commandments of God. It's like, wow, what a... Boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. So this woman knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing to touch the fringe of Jesus, to touch the edge of his garment. And so we see here this connection between remembering the commandments of God, committing ourselves to follow his ways, and the healing that is in his wings, the fringe of his garments. This is powerful stuff, is it not? So what is the application of this teaching to us? Well, we are currently living under a curse. And we go back to the time of Adam and Eve. They chose to rebel against God, to do that which God had said not to do. And so God pronounced a curse on them, on the serpent, and on all of creation. And we are still living under that curse. And basically, you know, that curse is that life is going to be hard. Life is going to be hard. And so what do we learn from this woman about living under that curse? Well, first, she remembered the word of God. She remembered. So much of what we do here is to remember. She remembered the promises. She remembered the prophecies. She remembered the word of God. Second, she believed it. She believed Jesus was Messiah, the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world who was coming into the world, the light to the Gentiles. She believed it. And so she thought, if I only can touch the fringe of his garment, I will be healed. A third thing she did was she persevered. She persevered for 12 long years, still believing, still clutching to the promises of God, still believing, still trusting. Some of us have been in some long, long times, and it's hard to wait for the hand of God to come upon us. Hard to wait. You know, Abraham waited 25 years. God said, you're going to have a son. Okay. 24 years later, nothing. It's hard to wait on the Lord, is it not? And yet what keeps us going through those times is the vision. The looking ahead, that it's not always going to be this way. One day things will be as God made them, intended for them to be. And so we look ahead, we look above, rather than things below. I was listening to a great teaching this week by Max Lucado. What a gifted storyteller and teacher Max Lucado is. And he was applying this kind of teaching and idea to a friend of his who was running a triathlon. This is probably the most grueling physical endurance test that we have for any athletes. And in that, it's a combination for basically a whole day of running, bicycling, and swimming. And so this friend of his was involved in this triathlon. I think he said it was in Lake Tahoe. And the thing was, at the end of this, after all this running and swimming and bicycling, where the final was a running that they did, and they would finish up in this stadium, and they would have to do 4 laps. That was the end of the run, and that was the end of the triathlon. And in fact, his friend was going and was getting to the end, and he was so exhausted, so tired. You know how sometimes your body talks to you and says, stop doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't fun. That's what his body was screaming at him and saying, stop, stop, stop doing it. But when he got within the sound of the stadium, he could hear the roar of the crowd. Because as each contestant came in, they were roaring and encouraging them on. Now, these were people who were finishing hours after the leaders finished. But God blessed them, you know, for their perseverance. And this grueling thing started at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's now almost 8 o'clock at night. Grueling day, punishing. But when he heard the sound, the roar, when he saw the lights of the stadium, he was renewed in his strength. And God strengthened him just from the vision of knowing what was waiting for him in that stadium. And so he got stronger and he made it and he went into the stadium and everybody's cheering him on and just for him. And he finished because of the strength that was given to him by the crowd of witnesses that was encouraging him. Well, we too have a cloud of witnesses that are encouraging us, that are watching over us, that are cheering us on and saying, not too much longer, not too much longer, not too much longer. As I do each week, I turn to Jesus and I said, Jesus, what do you want me to tell your people? And again, it's not anything new. He said, I want you to tell them this. from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? You say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. We've been there, haven't we? My way is hidden from the Lord. God doesn't see what's happening in my life. He disregards what's going on in my life. We hear those voices, don't we? Scripture says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's a big God. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Yes, true. But he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. My brothers and sisters, some of us are in this time of trial now. For some of us, it's been going on for quite a while. Weeks, maybe months, maybe years. And we're weary. Our bones are tired. Our spirit sometimes gets broken. But the encouragement of the cloud of witnesses, keep on, keep on, keep on. I happen to believe that these times of trial come in seasons. Again, some are longer than others. Some of us are going through it right now. If you're not going through a season of time right now, trial, guess what? It's coming. It's coming. Because that's what happens in this life. This is not heaven. This is not our home. But the day will come when the curse is taken away. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more struggles. God will make things new again as he originally intended them to be. Oh God, how we long for that day. And so, my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is upon us. It's breaking in. We're seeing glimpses of it, are we not? And because of that, we absolutely know, really, the best is yet to come. This season of whatever we're going through, it's not going to last forever. One day, it will be over, and the light of Christ will shine. Why? Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Healing in his wings. Would someone please close us in a prayer? Amen. And now invite